This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you on this Holy Thursday. I hope you have your plans already set and made regarding how it is that you will spend this Triduum. It is the holiest time of the year. Yes, it is. It's the holiest time of the year. It's the time of the year when we enter into the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that every Catholic church, I'm quite certain, everywhere, unless it's in a war-torn country, is going to be celebrating the Triduum in a very special way this evening as we come together for the Holy Thursday liturgy. And then, of course, various churches have various practices that they observe on Good Friday. Chief among those is the Passion being read with a communion service, and also the Stations of the Cross being observed by individuals, that beautiful, beautiful, holy, holy devotion. Also this evening, you know, as the Holy Thursday liturgy ends, it is typical that the Blessed Sacrament will leave the church and will be reserved somewhere else. Oftentimes what ends up happening is that people spend time in adoration. And then Jesus is vacant in the church, is completely vacant. And we have this time to experience the loss of him. It's an incredibly sorrowful time. You know, the sense of absence of our Lord is severe, and it helps for us to enter into at least a little empathetically what it was like when our Lord was crucified, what it was like when he laid in the tomb, what it was like when he wasn't with us. You know, that whole kind of suffering that we experience, right? So our Lord will be vacated from the church and adored this evening, and then vacated from, tomorrow. That's it until Easter Sunday. So all of that being said, it is a beautiful, beautiful holy time of the year that I hope that you will enter into ever so deeply. We can talk about that today. I would like to just ask you a question as we're approaching this evening liturgy tonight, and then as we move into Good Friday tomorrow. Maybe we'll talk about which station of the cross is the station that is most poignant for you and why that might be. And I'd love to hear from you on this topic or any other topic. That's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. We're inviting you to join us here today. Yes, we are. We're inviting you to join us here today as we talk about the high point of the Lenten season leading us. It's the Triduum leading us to the glory of the resurrection of our Lord on Easter Sunday. 833-288-EWTN. Again, toll free for you here in North America. In addition to that, we are available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and or Facebook page. I invite you to use the chat feature there. Put in your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. We're going to get it retrieved and up on the board. Matthew Gobensky answering the phones today. We have Pedro Quiles doing the retrieving. You can text us as well. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response and then give us your question or comment. Tell us who you are, where you are, and how it is that you are listening. And we will be only too excited take that text message that you send in and respond to it. So it is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I came across a passage today. I'm reading a book, and I've been reading this book through Lent. Beautiful book written by Father Emil Neuber, long out of print. And you might still be able to find an old copy online. I recently did find an old copy and sent that off to a dear friend. But that being said, this beautiful, beautiful book is called The Soul of Jesus. The Soul of Jesus. And what Father Emil Neuber does is he takes us into the reality of our Lord Jesus Christ from the moment of his conception, all the way through his life and looking at various aspects of his relationship with God the Father, looking at our Blessed Lady's relationship with God the Father, and then looking at our relationship with God the Father. And that's, you know, one aspect of it. So this morning, I was reading, I had read yesterday about, you know, the Jesus bringing glory to his Father. And then this morning, I was reading about Mary bringing glory to God the Father. And, you know, there was something that was very interesting in that. Now, of course, it's looking at the fact that, you know, Mary was a beautiful Jewish maiden, and Mary was well schooled in her faith. Mary prayed, and Father Emil Neubert asked us to consider, you know, the fervency of love and devotion with which our Blessed Lady would have sung the Psalms. And he said she kept all of this inside of herself until it exploded out at the moment of the visitation. And she gives us that beautiful canticle of praise. But he was also talking about the fact that Mary knew that this child of hers would be for the rising up and the tearing down of many, right? And he talks about the fact that our Blessed Mother knew that her son would die, that he would be a victim. And so she lived with that tension. But he quotes a passage from Malachi in chapter 1 that I want you to think about today, because it's a beautiful thing. And this very much had been part of the liturgy for numbers of years. And this is what it says in Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name is great among the nations, and in every place incense is offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. There was a translation of it that said, from east to west, a perfect offering is made. And that was part of our liturgical celebrations. It was part of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to consider that this passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ was an event in time, but not locked into time. That it was meant to be an eternal sacrifice. And that Jesus Christ himself makes a way for that to happen. And the way that he makes that to happen is through what takes place on that Last Supper, at that Last Supper, on that Holy Thursday. And think about this for a minute, if you will. Think about this. Think about that this evening, you know, we will enter into a representation of that event in a very profound way. But again, you know, this representation is not locked into the Holy Thursday liturgy, but rather is something that takes place at every sacrifice of the Mass. And so when we hear, you know, from east to west, a perfect offering will be made, realize that at every moment of every day that Jesus Christ is being offered to the Father by way of in persona Christi, the priest, right? Think about that for a moment. It's an incredible reality. And so in a heightened way, this is what will be taking place in our churches tonight. So let us ask the Lord to open us up to this great Paschal mystery that is unfolding for us in our time at this season of the year. But that happens every day, nonstop, from the rising of the sun to its setting, to its rising again. What a beautiful thing. We're going to be right back with you, 833-288-EWTN.
The Women of Grace phone lines are open, 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. Eager to hear from you here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having this holy conversation with you. I'm also inviting you inviting you to use the opportunity that's there for you at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. There's a chat feature at each of those social media sites. Put in your question or comment. We'll get it retrieved up on the board. I'll be able to address it. Also available for you out there through text messaging. So text the letters EWTN to 58177. That's EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response, and then do put in your question or comment. Know, of course, that data rates and message rates may apply depending upon your plan. We always have something going on for you at Women of Grace, and I want to just give you a little update on some of the beautiful opportunities there that are coming up for you. We've got lovely things happening. And I do want you to know that Friday, next Friday, not of course tomorrow, Holy Friday, but next Friday, I will be at the St. Charbel Spiritual Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania for the first Flourish, F-L-O-U-R-I-S-H, Women's Retreat. It's being held by the Eparchy of St. Marin of Brooklyn. Very excited to participate in this. Very honored that they asked me to be the very first presenter for this new effort there at the St. Charbel Spiritual Life Center. The theme is Who is Mary? Facets of the Feminine Genius. I am inviting all of you ladies in the Pittsburgh area to join me there. Yes, I am. Just come on out, especially if you're a member of a Maronite parish. I do want to include the surrounding states near Pittsburgh. We have West Virginia right handy there. We have Ohio right handy there. We are going to just have this beautiful, beautiful time. So check it out. Go out to our website, read about it. Friday, April 25th is when it begins, goes through Saturday. We will have opportunity, obviously, for divine liturgy. We're going to just have a beautiful time together and I think really dive deeply into the reality of who woman is. You know, that question is back in the news today, isn't it? And I was thinking about it today. I was watching some news just earlier this morning, and you know, one of the commentators said, you know, isn't it ridiculous that we're even asking such a question? But we have to ask that question because woman is under attack today. So we know who woman is. We know who the Blessed Virgin Mary is. She is the ideal woman. She is the feminine genius. We're going to be talking about Our Lady in light of our own authentic femininity at this beautiful event. So I'm inviting you to join us. So excited to be with all of these beautiful Maronite sisters in Christ. Then on Friday, May the 2nd, we are going to be holding our Young Women of Grace online retreat, Virtuous Living, a look at the family and Mary our model, a look at the Holy Family and Mary our model. If you haven't had your daughter attend one of these online retreats, do know that you can attend with her. We would love for you and your daughter to come and join us for this. The women and the young women who have attended these events have really been pleased by them and enjoyed them so much. And really, I think, have entered more deeply into a profounder understanding of the great gift that is theirs by way of their personhood, by way of their womanhood, but also a deeper look at who they are as daughters of the Most High God. And it's going to be beautiful. Presentation by Cindy Westbrook. We're going to have some super segments, as we call them. Get to know St. Joseph, a lovely thing. There will be a word to know that's offered for them to learn. We'll look into the Catechism to say what the Catechism has to tell us about the Holy Family and Mary our model. And we'll pray a decade of the Rosary together. So these are always very, very beautiful. Our young women have opportunities to participate in polls, P-O-L-L-S, online there, and they so enjoy that. And I'll tell you, the girls get very, very deeply into it. So I am inviting you to come. These are free retreats. All you have to do is show up. You do have to register so we can send you the link. You do that at our website, womenofgrace.com. I've been telling you also, too, about the Journey from Eve to Mary, our Benedicta Institute Spring Online Immersive Course that's going to begin on May 5th. I am encouraging you, if you have a notion that you would like to earn a certification in Catholic women's leadership through our Benedicta Institute, I am encouraging you to check it out. If you feel as though you would simply enjoy the spiritual enrichment of these beautiful online and immersive courses that are offered in person as well, then I want for you to check it out. Go out to our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see this listed in the event section, and it will describe the course to you. You can click there. It'll give you more information about how our whole program is set up. I think that you're going to be overjoyed with what is available to you. Our online instructor is our academic advisor, Dr. Donald Wallenfang. He is very astute. He has a PhD in philosophy and theology. He teaches at Sacred Heart Seminary, major seminary there in Detroit. He is an excellent presenter, and I must say, he makes us laugh, too. He certainly keeps the subject matter moving forward. You will find out this beautiful reality of who you are. You're going to discover very, very much. The motto of the Benedicta Institute is agere sequitur esse. What does that mean? It means doing follows being. So we strive through theology, philosophy, the teachings of the church to understand the feminine person, who we are in Christ Jesus, our distinctiveness, the gifts that are ours by way of our authentic femininity, how to live those gifts in a variety of ways within our families, within our professional settings, in the community, in our parish, right? Because the doing comes from who we are. So we're exploring who we are in this course. Who is woman? We're going to be looking at it philosophically, looking at it theologically, and we'll be looking at that journey from Eve to Mary. How is it that we follow that path, right? How is it that we walk in the footsteps of Our Lady and leave behind us, to the extent that we possibly can, the footsteps of Eve? So it's just a, you know, really marvelous, marvelous opportunity for you. So do check it out there. If you are in a parish setting, we want to know that. You can talk with us about some special opportunities that we have for parishes that are sending some of their key personnel who are women through this. You know, do let us know. Very, very eager to have you attend. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us here. We're talking today about the Stations of the Cross. We're talking today about the Passion of Our Lord, which is coming up tomorrow. Good Friday is when we hold in a very special way that moment that happened in time, taking it out of time and into the confines of our heart and experiencing it there, walking that Via Dolorosa with our Lord and with our Blessed Lady. And so I'm wondering which of those Stations of the Cross is the one that speaks to you the loudest, which one holds to you a significance. We would love to know about it here. I'm quite positive that what you have to share will edify us and help us to appreciate that particular station all the more. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us here. I shared a passage from Malachi in chapter 1 with you prior to the break, and I read it in the RSV Catholic edition, that particular translation of Sacred Scripture. I like the way it's phrased in the Douay Rheims translation of the Bible. Now, the Douay Rheims, it comes directly from the Greek. It was translated from the Greek to the Latin by St. Jerome, and then it came from the Latin into the English. And this is actually the translation that was used by Father Emil Neubert in the book that I mentioned to you, The Soul of Jesus, which I've been reading through Lent. And I think that this translation states more clearly the expression of what is coming forth from the prophet in a way that correlates to the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I was mentioning to you now, remember, you know, a prophetic word is one that is given in time, but it is one that is applying to a time other than itself in most cases. Sometimes it will be seeing the hand of God moving through a day in time, and sometimes it's predictive of something that's going to come. And this, I think, is one of those that is predictive of a time that would come. And I think the time that it is prophesying came at the Last Supper. And that's what I was sharing with you about. And so let me just pick this up at verse 9. And I'm reading from the Douay Rheims translation again. And it says this, "And now beseech ye the face of God, that he may have mercy on you. For by your hand hath this been done. If by any means he will receive your faces, saith the Lord of hosts. Okay? And now beseech ye the face of God that he may have mercy on you. And parenthetically it says, for by your hand hath this been done. If by any means he will receive your faces, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 10, who is there among you that will shut the doors and will kindle the fire on my altar gratis? I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will right receive a gift of your hand. And here we read this in verse 11. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down, my name is great among the Gentiles. And in every place there is a sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation. For my name is great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is very interesting to me because he's prophesying about the coming of the Savior, but he's also talking about something that's going to be going on beyond the time, the physical time, the corporeal time of the Savior on earth, right? He's talking about something that's going to be ongoing that will come by way of the hand of the Savior, but it's not going to be confined to his hand alone. And he talks about this perfect sacrifice. And when we look at the Last Supper, what took place there? The institution of the Eucharist. And how is it that the Eucharist comes to us? It comes by way of the hand of a priest. And who is the priest? He is in the person of Jesus Christ. That great sacrament of holy orders was established at the Last Supper, which we will celebrate this evening in our parishes. And along with it came the institution of the Eucharist. Without the priest, there is no Eucharist. Isn't this amazing? Isn't this beautiful? And so it is by way of the hand of the priest, who is in the person of Jesus, acts under his authority, might, and power, who is another Christ, an alter Christus, who brings about, through those words of consecration, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Malachi is prophesying is that from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, in other words, at every moment of every day, this oblation is being made to the Father by way of the priest. At every moment of every day, every second of every day, somewhere in this world, a host is being consecrated and lifted up to the Father. Is that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And as I said prior to the break, in a heightened way, this is what we're focusing our hearts and our minds, our spirit upon tonight. And so I hope that in some way we're able to appreciate to a greater extent, to a deeper level, this great mystery, that we can enter into it more fully. We'll never exhaust it. We'll never understand it, comprehend it intellectually, as I say so often here. But our soul can intuit it. And that's my prayer for you. And it's my prayer for me. That, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. It's just beautiful, the way in which we have this opportunity. I am just really... looking forward to what we will be privileged to remember tonight. And remember, when we talk about remembering, we do that with a Jewish understanding of what that means. When we see in Scripture, do this in memory of me, do this in remembrance of me. Whenever we talk about that, it's with a Jewish understanding. And there's a Jewish word that is used there, and it's zokar. And what that word means is that this is an event that happened in time, but is not locked in time. It is a representing of something that happened in time, not in the sense of like a reenactment, but rather it is happening again. It is bringing the past into the present moment. The past comes into the present moment. It's a Kairos moment. It's a moment where, and of course we have this at every sacrifice of the Mass, it is a Kairos moment. It is where eternity intersects time. It is when the God life, you know, pierces into our time and we are not living in the Chronos time. You know, in that moment, there is an ability to enter into eternal time, the eternal now where God is. Yes, you know, there is a way in which we are still in Chronos time, following the matter of minutes and seconds, minutes and hours and years and decades and centuries and millennium, right? There is that, millennia, there is that. But our spirit is not confined to that. You know, we become part of that eternal moment. And that's a lot, isn't it? So, you know, anyway, just some thoughts to think about today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Very eager to hear from you today. Several ways in which you can contact us. I am inviting you to give us a call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here. Toll-free number if you're in North America. Also, we have the opportunities for you there at social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook pages there. Use that chat feature. You can also text the letters EWTN to 58177. Tell us who you are, where you are, how it is that you're listening. Certainly let us know what your question or comment is. And we will get it retrieved. Data rates and message rates may apply to that option. Pedro Quiles is doing the retrieving. Matthew Gubensky is on the air with us there waiting for your call. And we do have one question that came in through YouTube. We will address that when we come back, but I want to hear from you. If you're a first timer, tell us. I will ring my welcome bell for you. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Delighted and happy to be with you today. I certainly am. Encouraging you to get in touch with us right here on Women of Grace Live. We are waiting to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That is 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you, having the opportunity to proclaim the marvelous deeds of the Lord and to enter more deeply into the great gift that we have received through his passion, death, and resurrection. So I'm inviting you to give us a call and tell us, you know, what would be your most, I hate to use the word favorite station. That's not quite right, is it, when we're talking about the crucifixion of our Lord. But maybe the station of the cross that is the most impactful for you, the one that draws you in, the one perhaps where when you're praying that fourth sorrowful mystery, our Lord carries his cross. Maybe this is the station that you take into that time of meditation, that you want to explore more deeply, perhaps with and alongside of our Blessed Lady, maybe perhaps looking at looking at the crucifixion from the perspective of Simon of Cyrene, who helps our Lord carry his cross. Maybe from the visual perspective of our Lord Jesus Christ, as well as his interior perspective. You know, which of those stations do you think has had the greatest impact on you and remains with you? And, you know, I've shared this before. The station that does that for me always is the fourth station. Jesus carries his cross, and the part of that, yes, Jesus meets his mother along the way. I'm thinking of the sorrowful mysteries there. It's the fourth sorrowful mystery. Our Lord meets his mother, you know, along the way as he carries his cross is the station that I meditate on when I'm praying that particular mystery in ever so many ways. And one aspect of it that has been so meaningful to me in my time of prayer is the gaze. the gaze between mother and son at that moment. And then the final gaze of our Lord as he's hanging on the cross, looking down at his mother, and what passes through them, you know, what is being communicated from Mary to Jesus through her gaze? What is Jesus communicating to his mother through his gaze? You know, how is it that they are aiding each other in this co-passioning? You know, theologians tell us that Mary mystically experienced her son's passion and his crucifixion. She mystically experienced that. To some extent, she mystically experienced his death. How was it that they were there for each other in that time? And I've often, you know, said to the Lord that, you know, as I'm praying this, you know, Father, what I would love is just to be held, you know, to be held in the center of that gaze, to somehow be held in that gaze, so that whatever our Lord was communicating to his mother and whatever our mother was communicating to her son is captured, you know, in my heart, in my soul, is captured by me. You know, I don't think that we can ever overestimate the beautiful relationship of Jesus and Mary, and how much she was there with him, especially at that moment, but at every key moment of his life. And then again, hanging, as he's hanging on the cross and she's looking up at him, I would imagine that her eyes never left him. I would imagine that for 3 long hours, she just gazed on the face of her son. And I would imagine that he likewise gazed at his mother. I'm sure that he looked to the left and to the right at the 2 thieves that hung there. I know that he looked at St. John, because I'm sure he looked at him as he was bequeathing his mother to him, and then bequeathing John, who stands for all of us, bequeathing John to Our Lady. I'm sure that he looked then, but I am sure that for the most part, his eyes did not leave the face of his mother. And every time he looked at her, he found her looking at him. They journeyed through that passion together. And it's a beautiful, beautiful reality. And we're invited into that. We're invited mystically to enter into that passion of our Lord. So, I would encourage you to think of all of these beautiful realities, mysteries to be sure, but realities nonetheless, as we walk through this Triduum together with our Lord and with our Blessed Lady. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Teresa is with us. She is driving through New Mexico today, listening to us via the EWTN app. Good morning to you, Teresa.
Good morning, Jeanette.
I'm glad you're with us today.
I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So which of these beautiful stations is most meaningful to you?
Well, I was thinking of when Jesus carried his cross. That one
Yes.
is really speaking to me today, because we're driving, my husband and I are driving a 14 and a half hour drive from Phoenix, Arizona, to San Antonio, Texas.
My goodness.
And it's quite a sacrifice to do that.
Yes.
But we'll have a happy ending. Our daughter-in-law, Michaela, is coming into the church. She's receiving all the stuff. And then when it's at the culmination of it, they're going to have their marriage blessed in the church. My son, Joseph, and his wife, Michaela.
Teresa, this is just so beautiful, and that will happen at the Easter Vigil Mass. And, you know, this is one of the, I think, triumphant moments, I think, of that Easter Vigil Mass that we experience when we see so many people coming into the faith. And this has to be so meaningful for you, because now their marriage is going to be blessed in the church as well. So this sacrifice that you're making by traveling that distance is one that I know, as you say, is joyful. joyful. I know your heart is just bursting, and I'm guessing your husband's heart is bursting with joy as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're very happy, very joyful.
So relate this to the fourth station there, Jesus, or the fourth mystery of the rosary, Jesus carrying his cross.
Yes. Well, like I say, it reminds me of Jesus getting from one place to another with, you know, probably a lack of sleep like we had, getting up at 2 in the morning to make this trip. I'm sure Jesus didn't sleep much. And then just dealing with all the things you deal with when you're on the road, just like Jesus, you know, carrying that heavy cross. Of course, I've got my husband right next to me as my helper. Like, you know, I'm helping him, he's helping me as we journey, just like Simon helped Jesus with his cross. But thinking of Jesus carrying that cross is helping me to have a good attitude and keeping me going and, you know.
Yes, which love. Teresa, I'll tell you, that's absolutely beautiful. You know, and it's lovely that even as you're making this journey by car, that you are taking it into making it a very prayerful, very meaningful journey in light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's interesting, too, because here you are and your hearts are filled with joy, even though you are in the midst of sacrifice. And I think that was very much part of Our Lady and our Lord's experience. You know, Jesus carried his cross. Of course, it was painful and it was difficult, but his heart was filled with joy because, number one, he knew he was fulfilling his mission, right? This is why he came, you know? He says in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. There was only one way that abundant life was going to come about, and it was going to come about by his passion, death, and resurrection, the Paschal mystery. And so even as he is making his way there and he's suffering, I mean, we can't even begin to imagine the suffering. And we cannot imagine the suffering of our mother. You know, it's just, you know, Father Emil Newbert states something in this book, The Soul of Jesus, that I thought of when my late son was killed. And that was, the pain was so crushing and so intense for me. And yet I was not experiencing it to the depth that our Blessed Mother experienced the loss of her son and the torture of her son, because she is all pure and I am not. So my suffering is in some way defiled, if you will, by concupiscence. But Our Lady's was not. And yet my suffering was so intense, I thought I would die. And so how must it have been for our Blessed Mother? And yet at the same time, our Blessed Lady was also experiencing joy. Jesus experiencing joy because he knew that his mission was about to be accomplished, knew that that heaven's gates would be opened once again, knew that he was bringing the opportunity of salvation to every man. He knew that every sin, no matter the transgression, no matter how horrid the sin is, every sin could be forgiven by his blood if that individual who committed the sin reached out to that redemptive grace that was available. He had to be so joyful. Our Lady joyful because she too knew that this was the culmination of what was prophesied to her by the angel Gabriel and then reinforced by the prophecy of Simeon. And she knew that the dolor that she was experiencing in her heart, she was experiencing it, the fulfillment of that prophecy, this sword that was piercing her heart. Yes, painful, but yet joyful because it was bringing about the will of the Father. And so, you know, the joy that you're experiencing, the sacrifice that's involved in some way typifies, is an expression of, to a much less degree, of course, but nonetheless real for what it is that's happening on your journey. So, you know, and I think that through these moments when we understand and apprehend these great mysteries, I think that these great mysteries are presented to us as doorways that we can enter through and find a more robust sense of the reality, the mystery itself. So this is a great opportunity for you and your husband. And I'm just thrilled for you. This is such good news. And I'm rejoicing in my heart for your rejoicing.
Yes. Thank you so much, Donette.
You're welcome, Teresa. Thank you for calling in today. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us today here. We're talking about which station of the stations of the cross might impact you the most. We have Dennis with us, and Dennis is in New York listening to us via Station of the Cross. How are you doing, Dennis?
Great, Jeanette, and a happy Easter to you and your family and all
Thank
your
you.
Listeners.
Jeanette, thank you.
I was involved in prison ministry many, many years ago. We need to bring the passion into female prisons. Our monthly newsletter, Women of Grace, these female prisoners need to see that. Is there any way you can bring passion, or at least once a year, into female prisons and bring the race message to these females?
Well, I'll tell you, nothing would delight me more. It has long been on my heart, Dennis, that I would love to get the Women of Grace materials into prisons. I think it would be absolutely a remarkable thing. I know that our radio program is in some prison systems because I have received mail from prisoners who listen and actually watch on YouTube. But I don't know that the Women of Grace materials have been used. As a matter of fact, let me take that back. We did have one woman take the Women of Grace foundational study into the prison system with great success. So it has been done. But that's the only time that I know. And I mean, you know, Women of Grace was founded in 2003. Our foundational study has been available since 2005. I think that's the only time that I am aware of. But anything that you could do to help facilitate that, I would be delighted. You're breaking up on me. Are you talking about me coming into women's prisons to speak?
Yes.
I would have to know how that's done. I have no knowledge of what the process is for such a thing. But, you know, whatever door the Lord opens, whether it be the door of a church, the door of a parish hall, the door of a home, the door of an event center, or the door of a prison, I'll go in with the message of the Lord. Oh, Dennis, I'm so sorry. I really can't understand. Would you call us back? Maybe we can get a better connection if you call back. Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, this is the thing. You know, we want to preach the good news everywhere and to everyone. You know, I think of that passage in Scripture where Jesus tells us, you know, to the extent that you did this to the least of these, you did it to me. And he specifies, you know, the prisoner, visiting the prisoner, right? So, yes, these opportunities, when they exist, should be explored. And I would be happy to do that, just don't know how. So if you have information, let me know. We have Secretariat out there on YouTube. I am disabled and mostly homebound, except for medical visits. How could I celebrate the way of the cross from home? Well, you know, this is a beautiful thing that you're asking. And the fact of the matter is that you can celebrate the way of the cross at home. Many missals have the way of the cross, the stations of the cross in them, with pictures of each of those stations that aid and assist us in our time of meditation. So if you have a missal, you would probably have access to that. If not, certainly online, you can make the stations of the cross. You just put in, you know, the stations of the cross or the way of the cross, and they will come up for you. You can probably print them out or just read them on your screen. I would imagine as well, though I've never investigated this, I would imagine as well that there are probably sites that have accompanying those stations beautiful images that can take you into the Station of the Cross. And my guess is there are even probably apps of the Stations of the Cross where you can pray it with others. You know, there's a voice that's reciting the meditation and then leading us in the prayer. So, you know, I would say that in all of those ways, and I know numbers of people that this is a very deep devotional practice that they abide by every Friday. So you might want to consider any of those options, Secretariat, and I hope that you're able to do that, because I think it would be especially poignant for you as you consider the sacrifice that you make in union with Christ through your disability. So I hope that that helps you and gives you some insights. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We've got about 5 minutes left in the show. Two calls coming in. I hope to be able to get to them. Three calls calling in. Oh, everybody calls when the show is running out of time. But we've got time for you. If you can be very quick with Matthew and very quick with me, we probably should be able to enter into this holy conversation together. Here is something that is written in another beautiful book that I have. It's called The Foot of the Cross, The Sorrows of Mary by Father Faber. And this book is a classic. You can get this book. I think Tan publishes this book. Yes, it's Tan. And so he talks about this. He says, he talks about the world is a mystery, lifetime, death, doubt, good and evil, and the uncertainty which hangs about our eternal lot are all mysteries. And they say that, he says, they lie burning on the heart at times, but the crucifix is the meaning of them all, the solution of them all. Very interesting thing to think about at this time. We've got Joe with us. He is in Massachusetts today, listening to us via Salt and Light radio app. Good morning to you, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I've got just a few minutes, so I know that you've got a special request. What is it, Joe?
Well, my wife, she suffers from breast cancer, osteoporosis, and also she has MS.
Oh,
and
my.
A lot of the, you know, the bills and everything like that, the medical bills are piling up on us, and, you know, and a lot of the, I have to work so many hours now, and I'm just so tired. I just think that every single one of the Stations of the Cross really affects my life right now. And, you know, of course my wife's, but I just believe in my heart that the pit of despair that I seem to be in right now, I know that God is building a ladder and it's in the shape of a cross. So that's all I wanted to say.
Joe, you know, this is, just a very, very lovely way to look at what it is that you're going through right now. This is a Via Dolorosa, and in some situations, the realities that we're facing are not going to change in time. But to the extent that we embrace them and journey through them with faith in God, we see that there is a divine meaning, purpose, and divine mission for us in them that leads to glory. And so I will be tucking you into my prayers. I will take you with me to the Holy Thursday liturgy tonight. I'll take your wife with me too. And I'll remember both of you there, and I'll journey that step with you. Okay?
Thank you so much. I appreciate you very much. Love the show.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you so very, very much. God bless you. Yeah, you know, when we can look at our sufferings and our trials through the lens of faith, and we can unite those sufferings and those trials to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, then those trials and those sufferings take on that fired, tried gold, takes on the gold and the silver of joy. And we experience joy in the midst of it all because we know we don't journey alone. Dennis called back. I want to get to Dennis really quickly. Hi, Dennis. Dennis?
Yes, Jeanette, I just wanted to say you can reach out to the Princeton Ministry office of your local diocese on how to make contact. Your message, your presence in a female prison would change so many lives, Jeanette. And one last request. Alex Vega. He's 18 years old. He has inoperable cancer. He's been given 6 months to live, and he has a newborn baby. Please pray for him and his family.
I certainly will. I'll take him. I'll be taking him tonight, too. Thank you, Dennis, for your call. Friends, thank you for being with us. I wish you a blessed and holy Triduum. I wish you a very happy and holy Easter. Until we have the opportunity to come together again, please pray for me and know that I will be praying for you. It's always a joy, always a privilege, always an honor to be able to spend this time with you Monday through Friday right here on this same station at this same time. Until we're together again, may God richly bless you. Bye.